Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi Shvuos Yutes. We begin 10 lines off the top of the Amud. Boi minei Rava. Rava asked a question, Mei Rav Nachman, pertaining to those opinions Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Akiva discussed yesterday, who hold that in terms of Tumas Migdash Ukadosh, the liability only applies when he forgot that he himself was in a state of tumah as he entered the Beis HaMikdash or ate the korban. But if the forgetfulness does not pertain to his own position, to his own status, he knew he was tummy. Rather, what he forgot was that this in fact is a Beis HaMikdash. For example, he was standing right outside, didn't realize he was stepping in, etc. There's no liability in terms of bringing a korban oil of a yared. It doesn't apply to this type of case. And they both had, their psukim sourcing this point. Here comes an interesting question. Suppose he forgot both. Helim zev zev yaday. He forgot, number one, that he's tamei. He forgot that this is a Beis HaMikdash. So it was a double forgetfulness. Mao, what's the halach in this case? Shall we just zero in, focus on the fact that he forgot that he was tamei, in which case it qualifies for korban olav yared? Or do we say, well, the added element of forgetfulness, which is having forgotten that this is a Beis HaMikdash, that detracts. So when you add, sometimes you take away, right? Called hamoisiv goreya. So adding that added unnecessary element actually detracts, interferes with his ability, with his liability. So Ma, what's the halacha? Amar Lei, so he says, well, it doesn't take away. Let's just focus on the necessary component, which is there. It qualifies. Amar Lei, Hari, Helam Tuma Biyadei. Look, he has Helam Tuma. He was unaware that he was tamei v'chayev, and that's why he's chayev. Adrab. So he responded, well, perhaps just the opposite. Hari helem migdash biyadev u'potar. Why focus on that? Focus on the fact that the migdash was forgotten from him and he's potter. Amar Rav Ashi, you know what? I'll make a compromise. Chazinan. Let's see what triggered his retreat. Meaning, he was unaware at the time of this experience. A, that he's tummy. B, that this is a Migdash. But when he emerged from the Migdash, what was it that triggered that retreat? What was he told? Right, let's say he was standing in the Migdash. What's he being told right now? What was the trigger point? Chazinan, imet tuma kaparish. Hey, you're a tummy. Don't you realize you're... Ooh, yeah, I'm tummy. He goes running out. So if the tuma was the one was the element that triggered his retreat, that's what made him be pirish, leave the Migdash. Hari helam tuma biyadei. V'chayev, clearly, the primary element of forgetfulness attributes itself to the tuma. And therefore he's chayev. Or imi migdash kaparish, if it was in fact when he was informed that this is a migdash that got him to run out. So then we say hari helam migdash biyadai uparter. We consider the helam migdash as the primary element of forgetfulness, and he's potter. Amar Lei Ravina Larvashi, I don't understand. He was told that he's tamei, but that wouldn't be a reason for him to leave the Migdash, if not for the fact that it triggered. In his mind, a remembrance that this is a Migdash as well, because it was only since it jogged his memory, in terms of the Migdash as well, that he went running out. Right? On the other hand, if he was told that this is a Migdosh. That wouldn't be enough reason for him to run out. It's not for the fact that it jogged his memory and he just remembered that he's Tamei too. So you can't differentiate. See, the other Shita held that, you know, when he was told, you're Tamei, and that made him run out. Apparently that was the primary element of forgetfulness. Because, look, he wasn't even told that it's a Migdash right now. He realized on his own. Apparently that was sort of secondary in his mind. The primary forgetfulness was the fact that he's Tamei. He was told that he's Tamei. Automatically he recalled that it's a Migdash as well. It wasn't really sort of forgotten from him. Alternatively, if when informed that this is a Migdash, that triggered his retreat without even having needed to be told that he's Tamei. Apparently, that second point was sort of closer to the surface. Didn't need much introduction. As soon as he was told it's a Migdash, he realized on his own, oh, but I'm also Tamei, and he went running out. So apparently the primary element of Ha'alama, forgetfulness, was that point which he needed to be reminded about. That was the first Shita. But Ravina responds, well, listen, you can't split them up. Amar Ravina Ravashi, Klum Pirish Parish Mi Migdash, Ela Mishum Tuma. True. When he was reminded, this is a Beis HaMikdash, that in itself caused him to run out. But only because that it caused a ripple effect, right? And also reminded him of the fact that he that he's Tamei. So yeah, both were hidden from him and both were now revived in his consciousness. Conversely, Kulum Parish Mituma Elam Shemigdash. In the case when he was reminded that he's Tamei. Now that's all, they didn't say more than that. Why did he go running out? Because he also realized now that he's Tamei in a Beis HaMikdash, that this effect is a Beis HaMikdash. So both things were not jogged in his memory. Both things came to the forefront. Both things were really previously hidden from him. You can't split the two. So the trigger point isn't necessarily an indication of what was truly hidden to the exclusion of the other element. They're both equally forgotten, and both equally remembered. Ela Lishna, therefore, says Ravina, we can't differentiate. And in fact, in a case where it was Helem Zev Zebeyadai, when both were hidden from him, both point the fact that he was Tamei and the fact that he's a Migdash, and now he recalled both, he would be Potter. It does not qualify for a Karban Oilavi Yored, which is limited to Helem Tuma, according to Blazer, and we keep Helem Tuma only. Okay, on this topic of Helem Tuma, we know that prior to Helem, prior to being hidden, it was known to him, right? That's a prerequisite for the liability of Korban Oil V'Yered, right? There needs to be a Yediyah B'Tchila, according to most Shitas. Contrast to Shitas Rabbi Shmuel, who holds that there's no requirement for Yediyah B'Tchila. He need not have known initially that it became Tamei. We'll see that soon. But generally speaking, the consensus is that the experience has to be as follows. Sunday, he knew that it was Tamei. Monday, he forgot. He entered the Migdash. Tuesday, he recalled. He brings a carbon. Here comes a Bryce with an interesting case of two pathways, two trails. In one of them, there was Tamei. There was Tuma. There was a grave running along the trail. Impossible that you're not going to encounter it as you walk along. The other one was Tahir. No issues. And we don't know which one of those two trails features the Tuma. So it's one of the two pathways. We're not sure which one. And this fellow walked along one pathway, which makes him suffic. Tamei. He could have encountered the Tuma. He could have not encountered the Tuma. We're not sure. So we're going to have three cases, three variations of this type of scenario, with varying results. Tana Rabbanan, Shnei Shvilin, two trails, Echa Tamei, Echa Tor. One features Tumah, one does not. Valach Barishen, A fellow walked down one trail, which puts him in a state of suffix, a state of uncertainty regarding his tumah status. At that point, he did not enter the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, he's safe. But Shani v'nichnas. Then, he walks along the second trail as well, and then he entered the Beis HaMikdash, having forgotten that, in fact, he may have encountered some tumah. The point is not just may. At this point that he did both trails, he certainly was tamei, because it's one or the other. He's chayev. So after the fact, he recalls that he has to bring a korban oleh v'yored, because this certainly qualifies. It has all conditions. Prior to entering the Mikdash, he knew he was tamei. Meman of Shach, either way, whether it's due to this trail or that trail. Then he forgot. Then post-experience, meaning after he left the exit of the Mikdash, he recalls. So we have Yediyah Batchila, Yediyah Basayf, Vehelem, and forgetfulness sandwiched in between. There's no question in this case he's Chayv Ikar. Okay, so that's the first case, pretty simple. Next case is where, in fact, he wasn't 100% sure, because Halach Barishon V'Nichnas. He walked down Trail A and went into the Mikdash, forgetting that, in fact, he was, Safek Tuma. He came out, he availed himself to the application of the Paraduma waters, Vishana, and it was repeated, right? It's done on the third day of the Tumah, on the seventh day. Vatavel, he immersed in a mikvah, he's fully cleansed. So now he has fully erased, deleted that earlier experience of Safik. Vachaka Chalach Basheni. Then he walks down the second trail and repeats the same story, Vinichnas, and walks into Beis HaMikdash, not realizing that he's a Safik Tame. Right? So he walked in, forgetting that he had done that trail, and after he comes out of the Mikdash, he recalls he's chayv, a carbon oil of a year. You know why? Because he knew that he had gone down that trail. So, although we can't really pinpoint, we can't really identify which trail, which experience gave him the tumah, but in sum total, he was certainly a tamei that went into the Mikdash. Right? Because he went through the first trail, entered the Mikdash. So that may have been the encounter with tumah. Then he wiped that away by cleansing himself with the paraduma. He did the same thing again with the second trail. Walked down the trail, entered the Mikdash. So either way, sum total, this fellow did enter the Mikdash while he was tamei. And he was fully aware at every juncture along the way that he could have touched tumah and entered the Mikdash. That it's possible that he was tummy when he entered the Mikdash, right? So that qualifies as Yediyah Batchila. There's awareness before the fact, before the entry. Although it was only Yediyah Safik, because if you splice it up, every experience on its own, each part of the story was really not a confirmed tumah. It was a Safik tumah. But that's enough. Because again, at the end of the day, after both experiences, if you add them up, he certainly was tummy while entering the Mikdash, whether it was during the first time or during the second time. And all along, he was aware. First time he knew he was Safek tummy and entered. The second time he was aware that he was a Safek tummy, and then he, forgotten and he entered. So he's chayv. Rabbi Shimon says no. Rabbi Shimon poiter. He says because yediyah means confirmed, definitive knowledge. At each point along the way, he suspected. He knew there was a chance, but he could not really confirm that he was tummy. That's not really called yediyah. Here comes a third shita, Rabbi Shimon, Ben Yehuda Poiter Mikulan. Mishum Rabbi Shimon, he quotes Rabbi Shimon, that in fact, it's a different version of Rabbi Shimon, in fact, in all cases, he would be potter from a carbon. So at this point, we only have two cases, right? First case is, he walked down trail A, immediately followed by trail B, and then walking to the Mikdash. He's certainly tummy, there's no question about it. Whether due to trail A or trail B. In the next case, it was split into two separate experiences, because he walked through trail A, cleansed himself, became certainly tar, and then did the same thing again with trail B. That would be called Yediyah Safek. And here it would seem that the Rav Shimon, you the quotes from Rav Shimon to say that in all cases, even in the first case, he's potter. Why? Bekulan asks the Gemara, Bafilu, become I see even in the first story, That's a pretty clear-cut case of Yediyah Vadayis. He knows for sure. Either way, Tameh, he's certainly Tameh. He did trail A, followed by trail B, he's certainly Tameh. Why would you say he's Potter? Why is that not called Yediyah? Amar Rava, you're right. We're not talking about that story. Hacha b'maya skinan. The Braisa in the first case is speaking as follows. Kigan shahalach barishan. He went through trail A. Suffolk tummy, right? U'b'shah shahalach b'sheni. And then he followed by going into trail B. But by the time he got to trail B, he forgot. It totally slipped his mind. Shachach shahalach barishan. He forgot that he had already gone through trail A. So in his mind, if he only went through trail B, he's only tameh misafek. There's a chance of tumah, but he's not certainly tameh in his mind. But that's only because he recalled only half the story. Had he recalled the entire story, he would have known that he's for sure tameh. That's called miktsas yediyah, partial knowledge. Partial knowledge of an entirely, of an entire story. The Havilaya, Miktsas Yediyah, it's partial Yediyah. The question is, does that constitute Yediyah? Is that enough? He's only uncertain because he's remembering part of the story, but if you would simply recall everything that happened, that trail B was merely following trail A, of course he would realize that he's Tameh. Ubakamifl again, the Machlekes between Tanakama and the Shita of Rav Shimon quoted at the end of the Braisa. So basically it's two versions of Rav Shimon. Tanakama holds that according to Rav Shimon, he would be Chayev in this case. And that's why he didn't quote Rav Shimon to say Pater. Whereas we have at the end Rav Shimon ben Yehuda quotes Rav Shimon. So it's a different version of Rav Shimon. So in any case, there's a Machlaikas in terms of whether it's Chayev or Pater, whether it's called Yediyah or not. Tanakama holds, Tanakama sover Arminan, Miksas Yediyah Kechol Yediyah. Even partial knowledge in this type of case is considered like full awareness, and it qualifies for a carbon. Reb Shimon Sover, Reb Shimon holds no. Lo yamrinam, we don't say miksas yidia kechol yidia, partial knowledge. That's not enough. And therefore, since in his mind he only went through trail B, which only gives him a chance of being tamei, it's not considered yidia, and does not qualify for a carbon. Now, let's move on to this next case, which featured a Yediyas Safek. Let's try to explain the Machlekes in that case. Halach Barishoin, he walked on trail A, V'nichnas entered the Midrash, he's a Vishon of a Tavel, cleansed himself, and did the same thing again with trail B. Chazar V'halach B'sheini, V'nichnas walked into the Midrash, Chayiv, he brings a carbon. Reb Shimon says, no, Reb Shimon Paiter. Asks the Gemara, why does Tanakama hold him liable? V'amaya chayev. Why is he chayev a carbon? Safek yediyahu. His awareness was merely a safek yediyah. He knew. Yeah, he knew that he went through one trail. One trail at a time is merely a safek. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Yeah, that's enough. Khan over here, regarding these halachis, we're going to see later in the Gemara's going to explain based on the psukim, we make an exception. Khan also safek yediyah kediyah. In this context, limited knowledge, even Safek Yediyah qualifies as Yediyah. Resh Lakish Amar, no, it doesn't necessarily qualify. So why then is he liable? Hamani Rabbi Shmaili. This Shita reflects Rabbi Shmuel's opinion, who says, guess what, we don't even need Yediyah. Rabbi Shmaili, the Amar Labi'in and Yediyah Betchila. There's no need to have Yediyah prior to entering the Mikdash, as long as he found that after the fact, he's Chayiv a Karpa. Okay, so again, we have three cases in the Braisa. First case is pretty straightforward. He walked through trail A, then immediately followed with trail B. This fellow knows that he's Tameh. Either way, it's full Yediyah. He's Chayev. Next case was trail A, went to the Midrash, cleansed himself, then trail B. That's called Safek Yediyah. Machlekes whether he's Chayev. How could he be Chayev? Says Rabbi Yochanan, Safek Yediyah is enough. Rosh Lakish says, no, that's not the reason. It's because we're going like Rabbi Shmuel, who says, Yediyah Batchila is not even a requirement. Now we had the third case with the Miksas Yediyah, and that was, a different issue. Now we seem to have a contradiction, says the Gemara. V'ramid Rabbi Yechanan, ad Rabbi Yechanan. V'ramid Reish Lakish, ad Reish Lakish. We seem to have a contradiction between Rabbi Yechanan, who was just quoted as saying that Safek Yediyah is sufficient, versus a different Rabbi Yechanan, where he seems to say otherwise. And then we have a stira within Reish Lakish as well, because here he seems to say that Safek Yediyah is not qualified. That's why you have to say, well, it's not going like that Shita, it's going like Rabbi Shmuel, it doesn't even need Yediyah. It's not even a requirement. Versus a different Reish Lakish, who seems to hold of Safek Yediyah as qualifying the Sanya. We have a brisa regarding a fellow, this time he ate forbidden fats, but not outright forbidden. It was a suffix. He ate some sort of, you know, fat, which may have been chelov. He ate it. We can't really verify it anymore. At least, not very easily. So it's a suffix. So on Sunday, achal suffix chelov. He ate some sort of substance, which may have been forbidden fats, in which case, so what's the status? So if it's confirmed to have been chelov, he has to bring a carbon chatas. If it remains in a state of uncertainty, there's a different carbon for this called a carbon asham toli. It's a sort of a temporary, protective measure. It's a carbon that protects him from the impact of his wrongdoing and, pending further confirmation, in which case he'll bring a chatas later on. But at this point, he brings an asham toli. Achal safek chelov, on Sunday he ate something which may have been chelov. V'noida, on Monday, he discovered his confusion, which would trigger a karban asham tali. Then Tuesday, once again, he had the same exact story, safek chelov, he ate something again, which may have been chelov. V'noida, on Wednesday, he recalled that as well. Question, how many karbanis asham tali does he bring? Can he bring merely one to cover both incidents of uncertainty? Or shall we say, look, once he recalled on Monday that on Sunday he had that confusing experience, he had that suffix story, that seals it. That separates it from Tuesday's experience. And each one requires its own carbon. So Rebbe says, yeah, separate carbonus. Rebbe Omer, Kashem, just like Shemevi Chatas al Kalechad Ve'echa, just like if he were to be involved with a carbon chatas. In this case, it wasn't confirmed, but let's say theoretically. It would have been a confirmed Isser. And he had yidiyah, he had awareness. He had recollection in between the two experiences. Each one requires its own chatas. That's a given. Same thing over here. Kach, maybe Asham Toli, al kolechad ve'echad. Likewise, in this case, since there was a degree of awareness in between both consumptions, right? He ate Sunday, he remembered Monday, he ate Tuesday, he remembered Wednesday. So that remembrance that took place on Monday seals Sunday's experience, separates it, packages it on its own, and requires its own atonement. Kach mevi, asham toli, al kol echad ve'echad. That's Rebbe Shit. However, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shimon Amru, they quote Mishum Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says, no, eino mevi, ela asham toli echad. He's only required to bring one carbon for both stories. Shenamar, al shigasai, by the asham toli, it says, al shigasai, asha shagag. So these extra lashoinis tell us, HaTorah ripsa shigoga is harbe, v'asham tali echad, to tell us that although there were multiple experiences, one asham tali suffices. Okay, so again, we have a fellow who ate safek chelov Sunday. Monday he realizes, Tuesday he eats again, and Wednesday he realizes. How many karbanis asham tali? Rebbe says two. Rebbe Shimon says one. Now, in explaining Rebbe's opinion, we have two approaches, Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yechanan. And if we look closely into what they're saying, it would seem to contradict their earlier presentation. Vam Reish Lakish, Kanchan Rebbe. Here, Rebbe teaches us, Yudiyos, Sfeikos, Mischalkos or Milchalkos Lachatois. That Rebbe is teaching us that Louis Rashi explains it like this. Suppose on Wednesday, it's in fact confirmed to him that it was Chalev. Until now we were speaking that it was still Suffolk, and at most he realized it was a Suffolk, and that's the reason why he's bringing... Suppose, theoretically, on Wednesday he realizes they did a lab test, and the, you know, turns out that what he ate on Sunday and on Tuesday was really Chalev. In which case he has to bring a Chatas. Question, how many Chatois? One on account of both, or one for Sunday's story, one for Tuesday. So Rebbe says, Yediyos sfeikos mechalkos l'chatois, that as soon as he had some sort of knowledge, some sort of awareness in between, even though it wasn't really a confirmed awareness, on Tuesday, on Monday he realized that Sunday's story was problematic, right? At that point he hadn't yet confirmed. Confirmation only came later on Wednesday. That's sufficient to split the cases, to split the experiences. That's enough of a yediyah, even though it was just a yediyah suffix. That limited awareness, that limited knowledge, seals it to its own, makes it its own experience, separates it from any further experiences, and ultimately on Wednesday, when he discovers and fully confirms that in fact both Sunday's consumption and Tuesday's consumption was achilas chayav, he's required to bring two chatois. And therefore, says Rebbe, being that that's the case, that in a chatas situation, the limited yediyah that took place on Monday would split the experiences and require two karbonis. Likewise, in this case as well, when he never really, as of today, hasn't yet confirmed that it was chalev. Even Wednesday, he realized that it may have been chalev. And he's required to bring Hashem Tali, but how many karbonis? Two, because the idea that he had on Monday, the realization that he had that Sunday's meal was problematic, that splits it into two stories, to two liabilities. So clearly, a Reish Lakish, in explaining Rebbe Shita, adopted this idea of Yediyas Safik being considered a Yediyah. An awareness. Rabbi Yechon Amar, no, don't go there. Yediya Safik, this awareness of uncertainty, that's not really full awareness. That doesn't really qualify. It wouldn't really trigger two separate karbonis chatas if that were the case that he was confirmed as eating chalev. No. It's only in this case. Where at most he's bringing Hashem Tali, which is meant to address uncertainties, right? So here, an uncertain awareness, I should say, an awareness of uncertainty, right? The bar is lowered, the standard is lowered. Here the idea is, it's all relative to what you're trying to address. If you're trying merely to address a Safik Isser with an Hashem Tali, so a limited awareness, limited knowledge, an awareness to the extent that there was some uncertainty yesterday with what you did, that's sufficient to lock up that experience, separate it from the rest, and it triggers its own karma. That's only because I'm bringing Hashem Tali. So Hashem Tali is, by definition, addressing a suffix. So the suffix relates to that. Rabbi Yechon Amar Kishem, Shidiyo is Vaday Ba'almo, Mischalkas Chatois. So Rabbi Yechon, in explaining Rebbe Shita, why he brings two karbonis Hashem Tali, puts it differently than Reish Lakish. He says it's like this. Just like when it's a confirmed yediyah, it would split the story regarding chatas. Right? So let's say he ate something on Sunday. On Monday, he now knows, he confirmed that it was a piece of fat. Tuesday, he ate another piece of fat again. And Wednesday, it was confirmed to him that it was forbidden fat. So that yediyah that took place on Monday is called yediyah vadai. That certainly would split the story into two and trigger a separate karbon. Because after all, it's the awareness that triggers the karbon, right? Oy hoida alav chatasai, right? The yediyah triggers a carbon. You can't lump up, you know, include more stories into this carbon. This carbon has already been triggered to address the prior experience. You can't use it to cover more experiences going forward, right? So just like Kishem Shidiyah is Vadai, just like when there is a Vadai Yidiyah, in this case, when it was confirmed to him on Monday that Sunday's fat was forbidden, Ba'alma typically, Mischakat Chatois causes a separation regarding Chatois, Kach Yidiyah Suffolk. Likewise, on a lower scale, even Yidiyah Suffolk. Such as in the case where on Monday he did not receive confirmation that it was forbidden fat. He now realizes that perhaps it was forbidden. You know what he ate yesterday on Sunday. That's called Yidiyah Suffolk. So those awarenesses of uncertainty, Mischakas La'ashamais, does affect a separation regarding Asham Tali. It separates Sunday's uncertainty from Tuesday's uncertainty, because there was that Yidiyah in between, although it was just a Yidiyah Suffolk. Because again, with respect to an Asham Tali, that's all you speak. We're speaking about uncertainties. So, somewhere in the middle, it came to him that, I may have blundered into forbidden fats yesterday. That's sufficient to stop that process in its tracks, trigger its own carbon, separate from the experience that happened afterwards. Kach Yidiyah Suffolk Mischakas La'ashamais. But with respect to a carbon chatos, where it's addressing a confirmed iser, the awareness in that context has to meet much higher standards. Has to be idea vadois. Awareness of a confirmed iser. The idea suffix is not enough. When we're looking for confirmation, when we're speaking about definitiveness. So clearly Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with Rish Lakish. He says, idea suffix? Nah. When we need a idea, we need a idea vadai, not idea suffix. It's only by Hashem Tali that it works, but otherwise not. And this is in direct contrast to Rabbi Yochanan earlier regarding Tumas Migdash, where he says, well, the fellow with the trails, right? Yidiyah Suffolk. Even that limited knowledge, knowing that he may have blundered, is enough to be considered Yidiyah. So we seem to have a double contradiction between two Rabbi Yochanan and two Rish Lakishes. Says the Rish Lema, the Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan Kasha, we can easily answer the apparent contradiction within Rabbi Yochanan. Because you may recall that earlier Rabbi Yochanan had told us by the story with the trails, kan osu, over here, in this context, limited awareness is enough. V'lo b'chla Torah kula osu, it doesn't apply elsewhere, like by Karban Chatas. The reason for this distinction is, ha'chahu d'loik siva yadeh behedya. By Tumas Migdash, we don't find that the Torah actually uses the word yadeh. Clearly, it just says, it was hidden from him. Vivanelam hudakasi. We learn it from Vanelam. It was hidden while he went to the Midrash. Well, it's only hidden because you can only forget something that you knew. So it's sort of implied that there was some sort of awareness. In which case, Rabbi Yochanan says, limited awareness is enough. V'loy b'chalatera kula asu, but this doesn't apply elsewhere, like by Echatos, where it clearly requires actual awareness, which means we need full knowledge, full awareness. Okay, so that's an easy solution regarding Rabbi Yochanan. Yidiyah Suffolk works by Tumas Migdash, but not by Chatos. Elul Rish Lakish. What about Rish Lakish's contradiction? Because in the most recent discussion, he seems to say Yidiyah Suffolk is okay. And by Tumas Migdash, he didn't want to go there. Rather, he said that the Braisa, which accepts Yidiyah Suffolk, is following Rabbi Shmuel, who doesn't require Yidiyah Betchila at all. So the question is, are the Mukim like Rabbi Shmuel, instead of attaching it to Rabbi Shmuel, attributing it to him, who requires no Yidiyah, Nukmuk Rabbi could have easily just said, well, that Braisa that says Yidiyah Suffolk is enough is going like Rabbi, who clearly, in the most recent discussion, according to Rish Lakish's interpretation, holds Yidiyah Suffolk suffices. So what was the point of switching to Rabbi Shmuel and avoiding this whole... The answer is, Kamash Shmuel, you're right, he could have gone that way, but he was trying to teach us something. That Rabbi Shmuel, loy boy, yidiyah betchila, that in fact there is such an opinion, Rabbi Shmuel, that does not require that the fellow who walked into the Midrash should have been aware of his tumah prior to the experience. Well, pshito, obviously, it's an obvious fact that Rabbi Shmuel would not hold of that requirement. Loy boy, he doesn't require it. You know why? Midloy miyasr loy kroy, he doesn't have psukim for it. V'nelav d'machayev al halam migdash, because you may recall way back we learned that the word v'nelam is the source for the fact that you need the idea b'tchilo. He forgot, evidently he knew, but according to Bishmol, the two v'nelams are used for teaching us other points of this equation. V'nelam is telling you that he forgot that he was tummy. The second v'nelam is giving us the other option, that he forgot that it's a migdash, to cover both instances, both possibilities. And the mechayev al helam migdash is coming to teach you that even a case where he forgot that this is a migdash, it also qualifies for carbon, in which case there's no extra v'nelam to teach you the requirement for yediyah b'tchila. So it's an obvious fact. There's no need to point this out. Mal d'tema is up to Gemara. Well, perhaps I would say ki les lemikroi, perhaps he doesn't have a source from it, from the psukim of the Gemara Isla, but he has it from his teachers. He has a halacha given down, malacha meshim esina, says Rashi. Perhaps he would concur with this requirement, Isla kamashmon. That's the point of Rish Lakish teaching us, no, there's a sheet of Rishmol, it's not required yediyah b'tchila at all. Hadron lach yediyah satum. Okay, let's just briefly recap. We started with the fellow who walked into the Migdash not realizing A, that he's tummy, and B, that this is a Migdash. Helam zev zev yodeh, according to the Shittes of Rabbi Lezer, Rekibi, who say that liability is strictly upon forgetting that you're tummy. What happens when he had both elements in place? Unaware that he's tummy and unaware that it's a Migdash. The Gemara went back and forth, concluded that it's really potter. We had the Brisa with the two pathways, and we had three stories. In the first, he went through trail A, and then followed by trail B, and then walked into the Migdash. Either way, he's certainly tummy, and that's considered a proper idea because he knew either way, whether the tumor was present there or there, I'm certainly tummy. That qualifies as idea batchila. He brings a carbon. In case B, he did trail A, went into the Migdash, and then cleansed himself. Did trail B and went to the Migdash. That's called idea self. We have machlekes on that. According to Rabbi Yechanan, the shita that says chayiv is because, specifically by Tumas Migdash, we don't need Ivada Yediya, because the pasuk doesn't specify, doesn't express the word Yediya clearly, it's just implied. So some limited knowledge is enough. According to Rish Lakish, it can either be going like Rebbe, that idea suffix is enough, or like Rabbi Shmuel. In fact, that's how he learns the Brice, it's going like Rabbi Shmuel, that idea betchil is not required at all. Now we have the third case of idea b'miktsas, where he went through trail A, forgot that he did so, hiked on trail B as well, and then went into the Migdash, only remembering half the story. That's called idea b'miktsas. He was certainly tummy, but he only recalled part of that story, which certainly made him tummy. An interesting question. Machlek is whether that's called Yediyah, which qualifies for karma. Okay, says the Mishnah in the new Perek, which takes us over to the main course of our Masechta, Masechta Shvois. We're going to discuss halachas of Shvois, of oaths, of vows, the violations of thereof. And as we discussed way back in the beginning of the Masechta, first we wanted to tend to other things which were sort of more, which were going to take less, take up less space, so to speak, less involving. And now we move on to the focal point about Masechta, Shvois, Shtayim, Shein Arba. Relates back to the first Mishnah where we had this sort of opening quote. There are two main Shvois, which branch into four. So Rashi says, the two primary are the ones in the Pasuk, Lahara or Lahetiv. He swore that he'll do good, he'll do bad, positive, negative, do, I won't do, to the future. Then we have two more relating to the past. And that's how it gets into a total of four. Shvua Sha'echel, Shalayechel. The two primary relate to the future. I swear I'll eat, I swear I won't eat. And he violates his Shvua. The other two are relating to past events. Shachalti, I promised I ate, and he didn't. I promised, I didn't eat breakfast, and he did. For a total of four cases. In all four, he violated something called Shvuas Bitoy, an expression, verbalization. And typical einish would be if it's bemezid, malchus, b'shogig, a korban oyla v'yorid. That's the fluctuating korban, depending on his financial ability, whether it's an animal, bird, or mincha. Now, what's the shiur? How much does he have to eat to violate his shvur? So, for instance, shvur shlo oich, I promise I will not eat, v'ochlam, kol shmini, a drop. It's just a teeny drop. Typically, one requires a shiur, an amount of a kazayis, to qualify for, to be considered, you know, a forbidden act of eating. Here's just a drop. Chayiv, he's still chayiv. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. Amar lo, the Chacham responded. Little Rabbi Akiva, heichan matzina, where do we find such a thing? But ichal kol shu chayiv, that one should be liable even for eating a drop, which would make you hold this person liable. Shazeh chayiv. Amar lo, Rabbi Akiva says, well, this is not your typical forbidden food. There's nothing wrong with the food per se. You're right, if it's Macholis asuris, if it's fat, if it's chazer, shir kazais is required for the israchil. But here, it's not the act, it's not the food that's wrong, it's the fact that he's violating his own words. He's transgressing his own personal commitment. Where else in the Torah do you find a person just speaks, says something, commits himself something, does something, or maybe carbon that triggers a carbon, shazem medaber, or maybe carbon that this fellow should have to bring carbon for speaking, meaning, this is not your standard isra achila. It's because he's mevatel his dibur. Words mean something. A person's words is an existing entity once expressed. He has to fulfill those words, he has to keep it, he has to abide by them. Negating his words, that's the isra. And even with a drop, even with achila kolshu, he has negated his promise. Interesting machlekes. So we have a fellow who says, I promise I'm going to eat, right? He has to follow through. Lememer dimita say the sha'icha. When he says shvur sha'icha, it means I will eat. Achila mashma, it means I'm going to eat. Ramin, we have a kasha from a halach and meseches in the Dorim. So Reuben tells Shimon, shvur lo echalach. I make a shvur of loy oichalach. We assume it means that I will not eat your food. Or he says, we have three cases. Or shvur sho'oichalach. Or loy shvur sho'loy oichalach. This is a double negative. I will not be bound by a shvur, that which I don't eat from you. Meaning that what I do eat from you, I will be bound by a shvur. I will not be able to eat. In all three cases, he may not partake in his friend's meal, asr. And even in the second case where he said, shvur sha'ichalach, it sounds like he's promising to eat. Why can't he eat? Amar Rabbi, lo'elam d'achil namashma. Typically, shvur sha'ichalach means I swear I'm going to eat. As we learned in our Mishnah. The case in the Durham is a different story. You have to look at it within context. Like Kash, the answer is like this. Kan b'masarvim b'le'echel. He was being pressured to join the meal. He said, no, no, no. And then he finally blurted out, shvur sho'echalach. In that case, what he meant to say is that what I will partake from you, what I will eat from you, will be asr, forbidden by the power of shvur. So he didn't really articulate it so clearly, but that's what he meant. As is apparent. When you look at the fuller, you know, context of his reaction. Kan b'shein misarvim boy le'echel, as opposed to our Mishnah. He wasn't reacting. Nobody was pressuring him. He was initiating. He says, shvur sho'echel. In this case, he certainly meant to eat. Oh, and he explains, ma'asis in our Mishnah, b'shein misarvim boy le'echel. He wasn't being pressured to eat. It wasn't a reactive response, as opposed to Brisa. The story in the Durham over there, the Masar Malach was being pushed to eat. Come. He says, no, I'm not eating. Don't you understand? I'm not. And then when he was finally being pushed against the wall, he says, you know what? I swear. So when he was swearing, what he meant to say, even though he didn't articulate it so clearly, he really meant to say, Shvua, Shaloyachla, I promise I'm not going to eat. Although it came out a bit different, he said, Shvua, Shaloyachla, he meant to say, what I would theoretically eat from you is usher by way of shvur. So he's bound not to eat. Rav Ashi Amar, he says, look, let me explain it more simply. Tni, shvur she'i oichalach. We have to revise the story there. He didn't say shvur she'oichal. He says, Shvo she'i oichalach, I swear I will not eat with you. Okay, yach, if that's the case, then why even discuss it? It's just plain and simple. Ma'ile memra. Well, ma'ile tem, perhaps I can think, lishnei, deskidulei. Perhaps we can theorize that he wasn't trying to say, Shvo she'i. Maybe he just, he got a little tongue-tied. He's trying to say, Shvo she'oichal, yeah, I'm going to eat with you. And by mistake, it came out a bit slurred. It came out, Shvo she'i oichalach. Instead of Shvo she'oichal, Shvo she'i oichalach. He really meant forbid it. He meant to commit the act to eat. Now that perhaps Lishna, his tongue, the iskila, got stuck. In which case, we should interpret it in the positive. Kamashman, the point is, no, you said she'i. We take it at face value. And you are bound by your Shvo to keep away from the meal. All the best to you and atzlacha rabbah.